What is the purpose of CEF? To train and send pastors and missionaries around the world. How can you be involved with CEF? But to pray for CEF, to be an ambassador, and to help endow CEF. You can give by unwanted vehicles and property, stock transfers, unused life insurance policies, cash gifts, and monthly donations. Thank you for your support, and God bless you. Transformational Truth is 352 pages of biblical apologetics. The topics covered are varied, interesting, and practical. There's 8 chapters with 8 lesson plans and answer sheets in each chapter. 65 sources will help enrich your understanding of biblical apologetics. Get your copy today at excellentway.tv. Hey friends, Dr. Andrew Knight with you again, your host and Bible teacher with Excellent Way Ministries. Want to encourage you with a couple of things before we get started. If you don't have a Bible handy, get one. If you don't have one, go to your apps on your device or cell phone even, and you can download eBible, and then you go KJV. And you'll be able to download that right on your phone and follow along. It'd be great. And so I want to encourage you also with that. And if you would, kindly go to Knight's Notes, the button on the front page. There's a couple different locations on the front page of excellentway.tv. And you can put your email in there. And then you'll get the notes emailed to you every Friday, the Friday before the new broadcast or the new content begins airing on Sunday. And so you'll have the notes ahead of time to review and that kind of thing. And then also our mailing address is Excellent Way Ministries, P.O. Box 87, New Smyrna Beach, Florida 32170. And want to encourage you to drop us a note, let us know you're watching. And also, I would also mention to you briefly before we get going that I have my 3 books I want to encourage you with. The first is Leadership the Lord's Way, okay? And that's an excellent book. There's 6 chapters and lesson plans and answer sheets in it. And then one that you'll really like that goes along with our teaching here is Transformational Truth, Volume 1. Volume 2 is on the way. It's getting baked now. And so Volume 1 is 8 chapters, lesson plans and answer sheets. Be very, very informational and inspiring to you. And if you buy both of these, they're $20 and $23, I will give you this book here, Children's Ministry Leadership. I want you to have all 3, but I'll give this to you. Just pay shipping and you'll have all 3, and you'll be then just having to get those read before Transformational Truth Volume 2 comes out. And so that'll be a great thing. And so we want to continue our study in the book of Isaiah. If you're following along in chapter 18, the title today is The Apologetics of the Fellow Sufferers. And the subtitle is The Obscure Prophecy. Now, we have a key verse that we always quote for the book of Isaiah. This is kind of the focal point of the entire book. The book of Isaiah is about Jesus Christ. Yes, you heard me correctly. An Old Testament book of the Bible is the focal point of Isaiah is Christ, as we see in Isaiah 9 and verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And then because we are discussing this topic of apologetics, we have a key verse that is the focal point or kind of descriptive of what apologetics is in 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Now, by way of instruction, as a born-again Christian, each of us are ambassadors in a foreign country, and furthermore, each of us are ambassadors for Christ, and we're in a hostile territory. One might say that we are stationed at our forward operating base here on earth, while heaven is our home base or station. As ambassadors for Christ, we do not choose where our post is, but rather our post is determined and directed by our Heavenly Father. There are several things that we can be sure of relative to where we serve as ambassadors. We serve where there is a need. We serve where there is opportunity. We serve where the Lord has provided. And we serve the Lord in His leading and blessing our representation of heaven here on earth. Now, defining the Lord's blessing and leading should be addressed here. One might find themselves in prison for their faith, like the Apostle Paul and Silas. While in prison, these men sang praises to the Lord as they felt unworthy to suffer for the name of Christ. In other words, they were thankful that they had the privilege to suffer for the name of Christ. This is why they sang and filled the prison with the praises of God. This is why they were witnesses for Christ while in prison for their faith. And this is why they knew the prayers of God's people would get them released from prison. Paul and Silas epitomized Jesus Christ, and that is why we are still discussing them today, in particular relative to Isaiah chapter 18. Now in Isaiah 18 verse 1 says, "Woe to the land shadowing with wings, which is beyond the rivers of Ethiopia." Now, Adam Clark referred to Isaiah chapter 18 as being an obscure prophecy addressed to Jews and Ethiopians. Clark also explained the geography of, quote, the rivers of Ethiopia. He stated, "What are the rivers of Cush? Whether the eastern branches of the lower Nile, the boundary of Egypt toward Arabia, or the parts of the upper Nile toward Ethiopia." Now in verse 2, "that sendeth ambassadors by the sea, even in vessels of bulrushes upon the water, saying, Go ye swift messengers to the nation scattered and peeled, to the people tremble from their beginning hitherto, a nation meted out and trodden down, whose land and rivers have spoiled." Now, the phrase, "Go ye swift messengers," is explained by Clark this way: "By the Nile and by their numerous channels have the means of spreading the report in the most expeditious manner through the whole country. Clark further explained, by the swift messengers are meant not any particular persons especially appointed to this office, but any of the usual conveyors of news, whatever travelers, merchants, and the like, the instruments of the agents of common fame. These are ordered to publish this declaration made by the world and to excite their attention to the promised interposition of God. Now, he also explained the geography this way. To a nation scattered, Clark stated, Egypt, exclusive of the deserts on each side, is one long veil, though the middle of which runs the Nile. Bounded on each side to the east and west by the chain of mountains 750 miles in length, in breadth from 1 to 2 or 3 days' journey. Now, let me explain or refresh your memory about 1 day's journey. There's times in the New Testament and the Gospels where, in particular, it may say that a Sabbath day journey is 15 miles. There was a law in the Old Testament that stated that you could only walk half of 1 day's journey on the Sabbath day, which a full day's journey was 30 miles. So a half-day journey would be 15 miles. Now here, there's a spread between 1 and 3 days' journey, so it'd be 30 to 90 miles wide, this mountain range, by 750 miles long. Now, what is meant by trodden down? The method of tillage in use among the Egyptians, both Herodias and Diodorus, say that when the Nile had retired within its banks and the ground became somewhat dry, they sowed their land and then sent their cattle to tread in the seed, and without any further care expected the harvest, unquote. The further explanation of the meaning trodden down, this would perfectly well suit with the Nile, whereas nothing can be more discordant than the idea of spoiling and plundering for to the inundation of the Nile. Egypt owned everything, the fertility of the soil, and the very soil itself. Besides the overflowing of the Nile, came on by gentle degrees, covering without laying waste the country. Now, here we see in verse 3, says, all ye inhabitants of the world and dwellers on the earth, see ye when he lifteth up an ensign on the mountains, and when he bloweth a trumpet, hear ye. Unquote. Now, the Lord is the antecedent which blew the trumpet in this passage. That's who's being referred to there. Now, the trumpet announced the battle of the gods. Then we see in verse 4, for so the Lord said unto me, I will take my rest, and I will consider in my dwelling place like a clear heat upon herbs, and like a cloud of dew in the heat of the harvest. Now, there's a clause here that says, like a clear heart. This is described or illuminated a little bit in Job 36:11, which says, if they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures, unquote. Now, then there's a clause in our verse 4. We're looking in verse 4. It says, in the heat of harvest. And this gives the idea, in the heat of toil. Remember, this is an agrarian culture. And the writer Isaiah is appealing to the agrarian culture that is ultimately or initially hearing this message, this prophecy, if you will. Now in verse 5, for the harvest, when the bud is perfect and the sour grape is ripening in the flower, he shall both cut off the springs with pruning hooks and take away the and cut down the branches. Now, to explain the flower here, the blossom of the vine is also mentioned in Genesis 40 and verse 10. And in the vine were three branches, and it was as though it budded, and her blossom sent forth, and the clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes, unquote. Then we go to verse 6. They shall be left together unto the fowls of the mountains and to the beast of the earth, and the fowls shall summer upon them, and all the beasts of the earth shall winter upon them. And in verse 7, in that time shall the present be brought unto the Lord of hosts, of a people scattered and peeled, and from a people terrible from their beginning, hitherto a nation meted out and trodden underfoot, whose land the rivers have spoiled, to the place of the name of the Lord of hosts, the Mount Zion. Of course, Mount Zion is a reference to Jerusalem. As they say about Jerusalem, wherever you go, whenever you go to Jerusalem, you always have to go up. Our group was there a year ago in March, when we left Jerusalem to go back to Tel Aviv, it was about an hour or so ride, and it was downhill the whole way down. It's like we kept going further and further down the whole entire way to Tel Aviv, to the airport, only one airport in the country of Israel. And it was downhill all the way from Jerusalem to Tel Aviv. So this reference to Mount Zion is a reference to the city, many times referred to the city of God, Jerusalem. Now, the present is a reference to a gift. And the Egyptians, the Egyptians and the Jews were fellow sufferers, and their common enemy was Sennacherib. Now, in 2 Chronicles 32:23 says, and many brought gifts unto the Lord to Jerusalem in presents to Hezekiah, king of Judah, so that he was magnified in the sight of all nations from henceforth. And so it almost sounds like lobbying to me. They're trying to gain favor with the kings. Now, of a people is somewhat synonymous with from a people. Now, which is confirmed by the repetition. Now, also we see the prediction of the admission of Egypt into the true church of God is not so explicit that event is clearly foretold. Now, the first apologetic argument that I want to share with you first is, and this is review if you've been following us from the beginning, and if not, the if you go to xla.tv and go to Knight's Notes, the button there, once you put your email in there, you will have access to all the archived lessons. And so each lesson is about 12 to 15 pages. And you can go all the way to the back, to the very first archived lessons, if you wish. And you'll find in there one that has to do with this first argument that I make here. One must always first begin with the supremacy of Scripture. In other words, if we're making argument for the faith, we have to begin with the supremacy of Scripture. In other words, every foundational belief and truth claims must begin with the absolute authority of the Word of God. Our truth claims and our worldview are rooted in the Word of God. Now, the Bible is not only authoritative, but it is supremely authoritative over all other sources or truth claims. It's supreme over all others. Now, if you were to go back and look, there's a whole message on the supremacy of Scripture. And then my second argument is this. One must also recognize the reliability of the prophet Isaiah. Every prophecy has a mate. So a prophecy is made and a prophecy is fulfilled. So many of Isaiah's prophecies came to pass during his lifetime. Now remember, the book of Isaiah only covers about 48 years. Now, while many others did not come to pass for centuries, this is the source of confidence that every student of the Bible should have, that when an Old Testament prophet consistently predicts future events relative to the working of the Lord in the affairs of man, then one can be assured that other prophecies in Isaiah and throughout the rest of the Bible are completely trustworthy, though some have not yet come to pass. One can be assured that every biblical prophecy will come to pass at its appointed time. Now, the third apologetic argument that I wanted to share with you in chapter 18, Isaiah chapter 18, revealed that God allowed Egypt many times is referred to as a picture of the world, and Judah, the Hebrews, in God's people to come under persecution. There are three reasons for God to allow persecution. One is to allow the punishment for the wickedness of the unbelievers and for the disobedience of God's people. Now, let me make a very strong side note, very important. All suffering is not because of disobedience. We live in a wicked world, and so sometimes suffering happens despite our best living. And the second purpose that God allows suffering is for His glory. And the third reason for this account is that it demonstrates that God is all-powerful and He is in control of this universe. Now, the fourth apologetic argument is this. For the historic prophecies seen in the book of Isaiah prove their relevance. The fact that events that took place 714 years BC and their account has been preserved over multiple millennia are proof positive that their relevance in the world today, they're relevant. One would be hard-pressed to find a volume of any genre or any body of study that predates the life of Christ or after the life of Christ or after the cross, I might say, that is still relevant today. Now, how we apply this, first of all, I want you to call 877-411-5300 to begin your personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And then download Night's Notes if you haven't done already. Night's Notes at xway.tv. And then read Isaiah chapter 19 before we get together again. And then allow me to come and teach apologetics at your church or conference. Would love to do so. And share excellentway.tv on your social media as well as our YouTube channel, which you can find under Dr. Andrew Knight. Share those videos with everyone far and wide. And then download our new podcast called Apologetics Now. And in particular, it's on Spotify. You can find it in Google and other platforms that I can't remember right now. But Google it and or Spotify and Google, you will find it. And check that out and take that with you along your trips or bike riding or running, whatever you do. And we look forward to seeing you next time on Excellent Way Ministries. Until then, may the Lord greatly bless you. Till then, we'll see you. Bye. What is the purpose of CEF? To train and send pastors and missionaries around the world. How can you be involved with CEF but to pray for CEF, to be an ambassador, and to help endow CEF? You can give by unwanted vehicles and property, stock transfers, unused life insurance policies, cash gifts, and monthly donations. Thank you for your support, and God bless you.